what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Happens. Happens.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. Joining me, as always, is the wonderful and lovely Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com. Hey, Ronnie.
Hello there, Ben.
Oh, hello there, Ronnie. How are you doing today?
Good. I was just reading our Twitter and people are still horrified by our Melbourne accents. And I was like, yeah, I agree. I think they're actually getting worse by the week, but they're, God, they're getting so much more fun.
Yeah. It's like, if there's like a Venn diagram of a Southern accent and a South African accent, an Australian accent and a British accent, ours is right in the middle. Which is like a little bit of everything. I think somehow that like winds up being like a Philadelphian accent. I don't know. It's
like, yeah, there's everything. My Texas comes out. And then now that they've got that petaflor bitch, there's like Spanish, Puerto Rican.
I know.
Indian, Thailand, mongrel. She's a mongrel.
She's a mongrel. You can't add all those things together. Too much for us.
It's going to make our
heads explode. For people who want to follow us on social media, you can go to watchwhatcrappens.com, find all our links. Just go there. Just go there, why don't you? Don't be a terrible person. Go there, and you'll find them, and your life will be just wonderful. But of course, chief among those is our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens, where there's just so much fun stuff. We talked about this in our first podcast of the week, because guess what? We do two now. We talked about the bingo board. Hopefully there'll be more of those to come, so that way you can get like a real game going. Watch What Crappens Bingo. It's fun. It's all the rage. Go to Facebook page to check that out. And of course, you know what's coming next. A plug for Patreon. Patreon.com/WatchWhatCrappens. You can support us. Every little bit helps. We really appreciate it. And someday we will make tote bags. And we'll put a phrase on it. Who knows? So anyway, support us there. It really means a lot to us. And Ronnie, did I take care of
everything?
Where
you get all the bonus episodes and bringas and parties, darlings.
Yeah.
Go there. It's actually a thing. You're not just handing us money for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, if you donate just $1 per episode, you get access to our weekly bonus episode. And we just recorded our bonus episode. And boy.
Soup's fun.
We had a fun
Today
one
was
week.
About the new shows on Bravo. And it was also an ode to Chantal from Gallery Girls, who did an article for Urban Outfitters. That was posted by one of you lovely readers on our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. And it was actually hilarious. We did the whole article, reviewed all of her outfits and her dreams and ambitions, her new hair, her jumpsuits. It's really fun. That bonus episode is getting so fun because we don't have to talk about Bravo. We can talk about whatever the hell we want. Sometimes we're just clipping our nails, and sometimes we're getting super serious about like cereal and stuff. So
yeah,
check that out.
Things.
It's like a whole different podcast.
But in this case, we were talking exclusively about Bravo, and I mean, we really did go to town on Chantal. So if you guys are missing some good old-fashioned Gallery Girls coverage, guess what? We have some there, and that's no April Fool's joke.
Yeah, join us.
Yeah, it's a funny one. But anyway,
and also thank you to everybody who supports us, because I'm actually, this is what I do now. Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm poor, but this is like what I do now because of you lovely people.
I
get to just sit around all day and be a C word. So thanks.
This is actually going to support us now. We are like, this is,
I know.
That's actually really
And one
amazing.
Time my mom was like, how can you support yourself? Get serious. Well, guess what, mother? I am serious. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, this is like the sequel to Danzig's song, Mother. Mother,
Mother.
I'm serious now.
You guys have watched my mommy issues come full circle.
By the way, another thing for people who listened to the bonus episode, there were a lot of MJ Slider deliveries. Wow, a lot of trucks came through.
Oh, God, girl. It was like April Fool's or what? It's like Asa was pulling an April Fool's on her.
Yeah, exactly.
Like every time a truck came up, they're like, sorry, this one doesn't have sliders.
Yeah.
They're just like
MJ
watching
comes,
MJ bite her nails across the street.
MJ comes running down the staircase. She's like, yay, the sliders are here. It opens up. It's just nothing but candles and a few like bottles of diamond water. And Asa's like, oh. And then she goes upstairs, and just as she like gets up to her condo, you're like, she's like, oh shit,
come back.
It's like the Ice Cream Man, except instead of a do 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 do, it's like a.
That was my favorite part where they're like,
beep beep. MJ, anytime MJ hears a thing backing up, she's like, slider time. She goes running out. She's meeting with Ryan Seacrest about season 18 on of Shot of the Sunset, and suddenly she's like, sorry Ryan, runs downstairs. slider time. Poor MJ. It's not only her, they all eat the sliders. She's just the one that lives closest by. Anywhere across the city. It's just that MJ lives across the street, so that's why she gets that she gets the brunt of this joke. But you know, when this truck goes by Rez's neighborhood, you know he's running down there also. There are sliders coming. That's so Persian. They come in a truck. Why, people get their sliders in a box at the supermarket. We get them by the truck. You know, Persians, we like to do it bigger and better. That's so Persian. Gigi's like, I will not have any sliders because the truck delivery man tried to fuck me. That's right, I said it. The guy's like, why don't you want the sliders? Like, you put in an order, I drove them all the way out here. Because you tried to fuck me, there I said it. I tried to be nice, I'll say it in front of you and your other customers. You tried to fuck me, that's all.
So funny. So what do you want to talk about today, Bean?
Well, I think we already have a pretty ample transition. I think we have a segue right there from all that Shaw's of Sunset talk.
You want to move into the Shaz?
Do I want to move into the Shaz, or do they want to move into us? Yes.
All right. Well, I would like to thank everybody for not giving me shit about my tirade last week against the Shaz, because I really thought I was going to get some crap. I kept checking our comments, and no one did. Actually, people kind of agreed. And this week, Gigi's still at it, acting like a freaking rape victim, which obviously she's not. And I have to say, her friends are terrible people. Again, I mean, I know I say that every week, but God,
beyond,
they're awful.
Beyond terrible. I mean, everyone's terrible. Let's get something out of the way, okay? Gigi is awful, Mike is awful, Jessica's awful, and the rest of them are awful in the middle. So this is not going to be a whose side you're on. It's more like which side is the worst at any given moment, any given frame
awful.
Of the show.
Who deserves to die first, basically? Yeah.
Not Shervin, because he's got a good body.
Okay, well, let's start at the beginning before it got totally ugly.
Yeah.
Reza's, like, demoing a house, doing it totally wrong, and knocking everything off with hammers, which is going to leave big gaping holes in the wood, you idiot. You really want to reframe that entire house? Like, you want to have to reframe all the windows? For someone who supposedly knows what he's doing, I know more from flipping three houses, bitch. Stop taking hammers to shades.
Yeah. He's like,
going to be, what does this cost so much? We have to put in new window frames? What?
We have to put chevron on the side here, so we need to take down this window. There's not enough room for the chevron patterns. That's so Persian.
I love that he decided to kick his mom out of his wedding, and he's telling his little Adam. He's asking where he wants to have the wedding, and I'm only bringing this up because Adam said, I want to ride something big and hairy and stinky, which was awesome. He meant an elephant in Thailand, but...
You know, you can do that. At the Four Seasons. The problem is that probably Bravo's saying, hey, you guys all need to go to Thailand. Like, when you guys need to go on a trip, we'll pay for you to go to Thailand. And Reza's family's like, no, we want the wedding at the Four Seasons. And that's probably what it is. Adam's like, I want to go to Thailand. Just my, you know, that's conjecture.
They better go to Thailand, because that's going to be amazing.
That's so Thai to be in Thailand, to have some pad Thai.
Thailand are so different than Persians.
Persians
Thai
are like...
people are so little.
Persians are like, don't give me any noodles. Just give me some rice and get it crusty on the bottom. That's so Persian.
Look at that hairy elephant. That's so Persian.
Thailand? Even that name is so Thai. Like, that's so Thai. Like, how about you call it Iran? That's more Persian. I don't know. That makes no sense. I like the idea.
Are you barking at dum-dum?
Someone just got a score on bingo. Right?
This is very, very professional, Bueller. All right, come over here.
He's like slinking over here like he knows he did wrong, but he couldn't help it.
All right, come on and just sit at my feet, darling. All right, look up at me sadly. That's how I like you.
Chef Penny, get Bueller some food. He's getting testy.
Bueller needs something dry and round. All right, dry and round, Chef Penny.
Chef Penny, get Bueller a stuffed hen bonfim immediately.
Okay, so they're going to possibly go to Thailand. The other... Oh, and I also love that he said, I don't want a bunch of freeloading Persians eating my food and talking shit. Which is so beautiful that because that's also like every other race's wedding.
Well, I was also like, isn't that the way the reunions go on this show? They get together, eat Bravo's food, and talk shit.
I know, but imagine that times 30.
I would love it.
Or 150.
I would love it as long as I didn't have to actually be there.
But that's how Lebanese weddings are, too. It's like 500 people suddenly show up because everybody from the old country and anybody they've ever known or found out about on fucking not celebrity, but what's that thing? Like myfamilytree.com or whatever?
Yeah, or ancestry.com. Darling, don't look there. I don't want you to see your real parents. Darling.
Oh, my God. One of our family reunions, the T-shirt said incest is best because so much of us are born from that. I've got toes stuck together. I mean, we have, like, first cousins getting married in the old country, y'all. It ain't no joke. You just want to make sure that you don't have a strand of cholera passing on from somebody. It's like, your cousin doesn't have cholera. Fuck him. All right, make children with him.
My friend is a first-generation Nigerian, and he said that when his sister got married, you know, people from Nigeria just, like, showed up. Like, they just were, like, people
that's
didn't
how
never
they do.
RSVP'd. Like, it was just, like, it was just, like, tons of people. They're just like, yeah. They're like, oh, yeah,
they
we're
show up and they got like a station wagon full of 20 Lebanese people and they pile out. They bring Tupperware. That's another Lebanese tradition. Grandmas, the Sithis, the grandmas all bring Tupperwares in their purse and they fill that shit and put it back in their gigantic diaper bag purses.
Mm-hmm.
Classy.
Yeah.
So I see where he's coming. Go to Thailand because they're not going to be asking you for anything at all there, darling.
But I love how Reza, on the one hand, is all about conspicuous consumption. Do you hear that noise? It's like the ghost of Reza's mustache is coming. He's like, what are you talking about? I have the windows open in such a way that it's creating ghost noises in here. Can you hear it? Could you hear
yeah,
it?
Yeah. It's MJ. It's the ghost of MJ's slider fart.
So,
refusing to die.
No. So, but I love how Reza is like, on the one hand, he's all about buying a giant gold watch to show off all the money he has, and yet he's like, when it comes to like actually using that money to like feed people, no. I mean, no. I get it too. I mean, I wouldn't want freeloaders.
Come on, Reza's amount of money, still. Like he talks about all this money he's making, but we've seen his apartment.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, that's like an East Hollywood $1,500, if that.
Yeah, it's small. It definitely come is on. Small. MJ has a nicer apartment than he
That's
does.
That's what kills me about these people. They're talking about how much money they make. Actually, MJ's apartment has improved a lot.
Yeah, it's good. It's a nice building, too. I will say this. I mean, it's like a nice building.
It used
building.
To be gross. Like, you could smell the dog pee from the TV.
Yeah.
But now she's done something to it. Maybe met a gay person.
Well, the Miz...
Also, remember, MJ is more enjoyable to me this year in general.
You know, I always love it. We give MJ so much shit, but I love her, actually.
I like her, too. She's the only one I would actually like to hang out with.
Yeah, she can be nasty, but... Because, you know, I mean, she almost can't help it with that mother of hers. But at the end of the day, I actually love MJ.
Listen, I love a girl who likes to eat with mommy issues. Come on, join my clan.
And I like that she's given herself over just to gaining weight. She's like, listen, this is what we do. We just get fat.
Well, she's done she what the that. Girl from Sweat, Blood, Sweat, and Heels did, where she's like, just be fat, but like tie a really tight piece of cloth around your middle so you have an hourglass. Because that's pretty much what MJ's done. I think MJ's looks better than she has.
Yeah, well, she's put all that brown makeup on her underarm.
It's contouring, you're right. It's probably contouring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, okay, so okay. Rez and Adam are talking about their wedding.
Gigi made a comment in the interstitials talking about how she's sick of Persian men cheating. And Persian men just cheat and get away with it. No, no, no. She's sick of it. She's making a stand. And then she says, first of all, it's hilarious because you know that so many Persian men have cheated with Gigi. She's kind of a whore.
Yeah.
And then, like, notoriously, I'm not just saying that. And then she slept with Jax.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody who argues with me that Gigi's a whore, she slept with Jax. And yeah. I think she admitted it on Twitter. So shut up. But I'm arguing with nobody. I know. I'm sorry. But I also love that she ended that by saying, for the first time in my life, I just want to focus on myself.
Oh, yes.
She's Mitch, been when so have you selfless. Ever focused? Yeah, when have you ever focused on anything other than yourself?
She's just been, let's not forget Gigi's extensions. She was going to help a lot of people with that.
That's true. She was giving with that.
Yeah. And by the way, have you ever noticed that Gigi's never had big, long hair? Like, why is she into extensions? She's never had,
she has,
like,
very thin hair, actually. It's true. She has a very small bun.
If anyone should have had extensions, it should have been Lily Galici, because she had that big hair on her head. She had giant extensions. But she would talk about it. She's like, she'd be like, you know, talk about how she had all those extensions. Gigi is like, this is like Sonia's toaster oven. She just, like, chose something that she sort of knows something about and said, okay, this will be my brand.
Yeah, she should have, like, a brand of condoms.
Knives.
Knives and condoms.
Yeah. Knives and condoms. They work well together.
Totally. Use a condom, stab your guy, or stab a hole in the condom if you want to keep your guy. It's like a whole circle of life.
Yes. So Gigi has been hanging out with Asifa in the apartment, which is boring. Doesn't lead to anything. Well, the other thing is that, so MJ went up to Shervin's new house, and Shervin's friend was like, yeah, man, like, if you want chicks to like, you have to have a lot
Shervin
of Instagram.
Shervin and Asifa.
No, Asifa's the girl. The other guy. There's another guy who was like, yeah, man, like, the more Instagram likes that you have, the more girls are going to dig you.
Yeah, so he says girls like likes.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, man, like, I do crazy things. Like, I, like, posed in a bathtub full of Cheetos, and people like that. So Shervin's like, all right, I guess I'll do it. He's like, all right, man, like, just like, this got to be, this better work, man.
So they go spend, like, $300 on Cheetos, and he takes another bath in Cheetos.
Yeah. To be fair, it was actually pretty sexy. Not because of the Cheetos. He's like, he knew how to,
hot,
like,
and a gigantic wiener, too. They showed it.
Yeah.
Through his pants.
Yeah, yeah. No, Shervin, we like
Shervin's
Shervin.
Hot.
Shervin's hot, and he seems, like, nice.
I think they're going to get rid of Mike, because they got an almost look-alike, but hotter.
Yeah.
And without a Planet of the Apes face.
Yeah.
He's hot.
The only problem is that he does hang out with Jersey Shore type people.
Well, listen, they've all got so much money. Sometimes you just have to forgive things. He's got a giant wiener. He's hot. He seems nice. He takes a bath in Cheetos. Like, so far, I don't see anything to dislike about him. As far as the rest of them, I see my cousins at family reunions, and I put up with their asses, too. And we have fun.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, how much time are you willing to donate?
It's definitely an upgrade from Sammy from season one.
Oh, my God. Sammy's still on it. And, Sammy's still bringing it on. I think they showed him this year, too, already, didn't they?
Probably.
And Sammy's still billing himself as a cast member of Shaws of Sunset while he's showing houses. Somebody told me that the other day.
Well,
classy.
I still think the hottest guys to ever be on the show were Gigi's two exes. Omid. I still think Omid was crazy hot.
Like, oh, my God. Abusive. Adrian Brody. Or Aiden, is it Adrian Brody, that actor? Adrian Brody nose?
Yeah, he had that big flat nose. But there was something about him that was, I thought, so
hot,
sexy.
Yeah.
It definitely was not his laugh, that's for sure. But everything...
even like Leah Black laugh.
Or his attitude or his personality. But there was something about like the whole package though together that just was like oddly like very
hot,
sexy.
Hot, crazy, and flawed physically. I love a man who's really hot but has like one flaw that keeps him insecure enough to date.
Like tall.
Like a nose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. An eye twitch.
And then Gigi had that, like, 22-year-old who is also, like, crazy sexy.
Yeah.
But he's actually more, like, hot. I actually find that Omid is sexy, and the other guy is, like, hot.
Yeah, agreed. Omid is more like, okay, I'll bottom. And then, why am I saying that? And then the other guy is like, you could just take him whenever you needed to.
Yeah, and then you have Shervin.
I'm talking like this. I took diet pills with my coffee, and I'm acting like a fucking crackhead over
here. I know, me too. But Shervin, you know, solid.
You know, but Shervin just needs time, and we'll hate him too.
Yeah,
what I want to know is where are these people getting their money? Because Shervin officially has a gigantic mansion, Daddy Warbucks' house in the hills. Where did that come from? Where is that money?
He is the CEO of a giant paint empire in Iran called Shervin Williams.
Shervin Ron. Gas.
He is the mayor of Shervin Oaks. Have you heard of it? No.
Yeah, it's where Kim rents.
He sells military hardware, you know, Shervin tanks.
Stupid. He has Shervin and cheese. Just say Shervin.
His brother is actually a very, very famous football player in Iran. His name is Richard Shervin. Have you heard of him?
Oh, God. No, I can't. You know I'm not going to get any football jokes. Right, well, you just killed it for me. Thanks a lot.
We should have just ended at Shervin Williams.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So he's hot. He's got a lot of money. Like him so far. Waiting to see how he's going to make me hate him. Because that's always the great mystery, isn't it? You know, when you like somebody, it's like, how are they going to make me hate them?
Yeah. So, wait, what happened between the Frito scene and the big barbecue?
I took so many notes this week because I was so scared to do two episodes. I was like, oh, no, we better have something to talk about. But then I forgot that we talked like half an hour about Shervin Williams.
No, Shervin Williams. Shervin Williams.
We're going to be talking about one show for 5 hours. Okay, the next part is actually my favorite part of the whole show.
Yeah.
And that is Asa yes. deciding that she's going to be a feminist by bringing over some feminist author and then making the veil sexy and showing most of her naked body under a gold veil.
Oh, God. You know, I'm so mad.
There's so much offensive about what she's doing that I don't even know where to begin.
I mean, maybe you should take a swig of diamond water. It might cool you down a little bit. Dahlias, the Persian pop priestess's soul will enter your body and you'll realize where to be offended first.
So there's some movement in Iran where women are taking off their veils. Well, not just their veils, like their whole burqas, right?
Yeah.
And they're showing their real faces behind like pieces of paper that say like "I'm free, bitch" or something.
Right.
So she wants to bring that to America, which is kind of hilarious because we don't really have that problem here.
Asa does is never going to make it to Iran.
Yeah, it's like protesting Paris Disney. Like, well, that's in Paris.
Exactly. And the funniest thing is, so do you remember last summer? I think I posted on our page or whatever. I was coming out of the gym and I saw a sign that said, like, if you enter this area, we were filming for Shahs of Sunset, you know, and I saw Reza and everything. And then I saw in the preview Asa doing her performance art. And if I had stayed around, if I just stayed for 10 minutes, I would have seen this whole demonstration that she's going to do. And I'm so mad that I didn't. But the funniest part is this whole thing about, like, taking down the veil or making the veil sexy. It all happens in front of a Buffalo Wild Wings, which for some reason, I feel it really undermines. It's like on one side of the street is Buffalo Wild Wings, on the other is LA Fitness and Fresh and Easy. Martin Lawrence Ballard in the basement.
That's where she did it?
In Vegas. Yeah, she did it. That's where the street was like, that's where they said they were filming, right there.
Oh my God. You know Spider-Man was like passing by with Marilyn Monroe in their dirty costumes, like what a dumbass.
You know, the people at the Las Vegas Seafood Buffet are like, should I get another helping or should I see this protest outside?
Should I get another helping of this plastic lobster or should I go see what this chick in a bikini and a veil is doing?
It's like, come to DSW. Come for the shoes, stay for the protests. All these things are in that area.
Okay, listen, what is she doing? First of all, she's saying, I love the veil. The veil is sexy. No, it's not. Okay, I've read articles this year, actually, about women standing up for it and saying, you know, this is so women don't feel sexualized. And it's, you know, when a woman is walking down covered from head to toe and she can only have her eyes sticking out, it's very freeing because they're not subjected to men ogling them and finding them sexy. They can just be themselves and it's based on their personality. And I'm like, if it's based on your personality, why is your mouth covered? Like, let's get over it, okay? You're using that because some man told you that. And that's some bullshit. That is oppression.
Exactly.
And part of being a human being is having people finding you sexually attractive. I mean, that's part of the fun of it, you know?
Yeah, and if you try to make a burqa sexy, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have Chantal on the Urban Outfitters website wearing one and being like, this is the linen burqa from the new, like, No Choices, like, No Advice collection, you know?
If only. If that's what it breeds, then go for it. That movement was worth it. But otherwise, shut the fuck up and stop trying to make oppression sound sexy. It's not sexy. Just because it's from the old country doesn't mean it's sexy, okay? It's like when you went to the old country and you were so excited to go to temple and then they made you go through the back door and sit upstairs and you're trying to write a complaint letter to management. Bitch, what do you think is happening? That's what that culture is. You can't celebrate something. You know, you're supposed to be fighting this for the women. You're supposed to be fighting the oppression. And making a burqa sexy is not fighting it. It's making oppression sexy, you stupid fucking bitch. Yeah. Pay attention.
So on the other end of the spectrum, we then had Jessica trying on bathing suits for Mike to go to Shervin's birthday party. And what I loved about this, Mike's like, hey, go and try some bathing suits. Let's see what bathing suits, which is already kind of like fucked up. Like, why does he tell her to try and bathing suits? Why does she have to try, why does she have to model it for Mike? Which, you know, you might as well put a burqa on her. But so she comes out in this slutty ass bathing suit with these weird like cutouts and crisscrossy things, like real like trashy.
She's like, do I look enough like other girls for you to want to fuck me at this party, Mike?
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, this is good. That's really classy. That's really classy. I like that. Yeah, that's.
He's like, oh yeah, baby, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, in what world is this a classy bathing suit? Is this? Like, where are they going swimming?
You gotta hand it to Jessica, though. For a girl who's not Persian, she's really learned the ways.
I know. It's like, did Outback Steakhouse open up a public pool? This is like, this is not what we need right now. It's like the Zima pool party. I don't know.
Let me see. Jessica's bathing suit. Gigi is cutting Mike out of Facebook pics. That was a fun step.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, so here's an interesting, this is funny. So, passive-aggressive social media things. So, Gigi crops Mike out of a photo. Gigi takes a photo with her and Jessica and Mike. She crops out Mike and puts a picture of her and Jessica, which is already fucked up. Don't go around talking about how uncomfortable you feel. Then pose a picture with the girlfriend and do this in a totally passive-aggressive way. And then she says in her comment, I cropped out Mike because it wasn't a good picture of he's a bad pic of Mike. It actually was a great picture of Mike, and you know, I rarely defend Mike on that front. It was a great picture of Mike. Yeah. It was so passive-aggressive of her, but of course, what does he do? He's like, totally returns in a totally
passive. He like downloads an entire app so he can like write a font on her face.
Yeah, he goes, bad pic over her face, which is more just aggressive than passive-aggressive. And this, of course, then becomes the
world war. Yeah. Well, here's my problem with all of this. You know, that trip was a year ago. They keep saying it was last year. It was a year ago. She's been hanging out regularly with Mike and Jessica since then.
Yeah.
It's not until the cameras came in that she decided she was going to be a victim and start all this bullshit of not talking to Mike. That's why he's so confused.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like,
too late.
But it was also so stupid for Mike to post that. Like, gosh, get over yourself. So she cropped you out of an Instagram photo. Like, deal with it. Who cares?
And I like when they were saying at the party, they're like, oh my God, have you seen the Instagram, what she's been doing on Instagram, and or what he's been doing on Instagram? And Rez is like, I don't follow him.
He's like, I only follow chevronfans.com. I just look at different Chevron patterns and think about how I can put them all on the wall.
He doesn't even follow his friends. Okay, so we're talking about every little detail. So it comes to the pool party. Everybody starts showing up. Gigi comes in some big, stupid hat. Mike's sitting there cruising other women and talking about how ugly their faces are, but their bodies are hot. And I'm like, you've seen your face, right? Because you look like the Hulk before and you look like the Hulk after, and neither one of those is a compliment.
Yeah.
So I don't know who you're calling Butterface, little man. So, you know, then Gigi hears him and gets even more offended. And then instead of this coming out in just like a nice, even a decent fighting way, Gigi's so stupid and gets drunk so fast that she just comes too early and splooches all over the place and starts screaming that he tried to fuck her in Mexico or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wherever they were.
And she's Mexico, like, I don't care that Jessica's here. I don't care. You tried to fuck me, Mike.
Yeah, and your girlfriend's right there, too. And Jessica stayed calm at first, and then she went into Jessica mode where she's like, you better take off my microphone, Michael. I'm getting out of here. You better get me out of here. Started screaming about taking her mic, and she's not doing this on camera and everything. And I love that she's like Jackie O, where she doesn't want to show her emotions in public, but she totally is just having a cow in public, you know?
Now,
Jackie O at least waited until her mic was turned off before she started ripping everyone's nuts off, okay?
Right.
You don't scream how you want to be classy in public. Screaming is not being classy in public. You understand the diff?
She was social. But you know what's funny? This is also a classic instance of girl-on-girl hate. Because even though we think Gigi is handling it in the totally wrong way and we hate the way she's handling it, all that Jessica knows at that point is Gigi saying, you tried to fuck me, okay? And what does Jessica do? She gets mad at Gigi instead of getting mad at her man, who probably did try to fuck Gigi, you know? And I hate that. Why do women do that? Like, don't get mad at the girl. Get mad at the guy.
Because it's how the girl's doing it. The girl is shaming her in public.
Yeah.
It's not about the guy. She's doing it right in front. She's disrespecting her and making her look like an idiot in public. I think she has every right to be pissed at Gigi.
Well, I mean, everyone has a right to be pissed at Gigi. But I understand that, yes,
oh, she's trust shaped me, by the problem, though. Mike got his nuts cut off in the car on the way home.
I'm sure. But the thing is this, though. Like, the headline should not be, you're shaming me in public. The headline should be, you did what to me, Mike? That's what, you know what I'm saying? And then be mad at being shamed in public. But that's what always happens.
You're not supposed to fight with you're not supposed to be fighting with your significant other in public. So whatever she has with Mike, I mean, it's actually the polite choice of her to wait and save it for home. And she did stay calm. Like, for a good solid 5 minutes, she sat there just like putting her hair back in a ponytail or whatever, you know, covering up her slut suit with a pashmina or like whatever. Yeah. She was like taking a moment, but Gigi just kept screaming and screaming so everybody could hear that her man was flirting and stuff like that. And so Gigi was totally disrespecting her, and she's lucky that she didn't get her fucking eyes poked out with some bad gels.
Yeah.
Because she was about to have that happen to her, and I would have been cheering that on.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been too. Don't get me wrong. It's just
that's
more
shitty
like a
of her. And she's supposed to be friends with Jessica, and she's turning on Jessica in public and basically calling her husband a cheater in public. Fuck her.
Yeah.
I'm with Jessica. Kick her ass, bitch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that Jessica is not entitled to be mad at Gigi. I just always get, like, frustrated.
No, I
always
you.
Feel like the man, I just feel like the man gets off, and the women get sidetracked by getting mad at each other. And I just feel like the guy gets off.
I think in this case that he's not going to be getting off. So, literally, he's not going to be getting off for a while.
So then Mike gets all, he's flustered and mad, which makes sense. So then what happens is, then Mike pulls aside like Reza and Shervin, and Shervin's going through this thing where he's like, bro, like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I wanted to tell you, like, I was really struggling. And then Reza's like, well, we made a pinky swear, and I couldn't break the pinky swear because, you know, the pinky swear, like, that's a powerful thing. Like, you know, that's so Persian.
He said it over and like, over again.
He was like, and Mike's like, he's like, you're my best friend. Like, I consider you like blood. You're like blood. Like, how could you
but
not tell me?
Pinky swear.
But there was, Mike, you don't understand. There was a pinky swear. Like, homegirl made me do a pinky swear. Like, I can't break that. Like, that's so Persian to stick to a pinky swear.
That is so funny. And then everybody... Mike classes it up by saying, that ugly bitch isn't even worthy of my dick.
Yeah, oh, Jesus.
And then the friends follow him down and say, oh, no, you have to confront her. Confront her publicly or it's not going to go away. Go back in there and yell at a woman. The only classy thing to do is publicly scream at a woman and call her a slut in front of hundreds of people on national TV. These people are awful. Every single one of them is awful. Like, he's trying to do the right thing and get the hell out of there with his fucking fiance or future fiance.
And then, the thing is also, I mean... As ridiculous as it was for Reza to be like, there's a pinky swear, you know, at its core, though, he was right that, you know, they said, listen, well, this is for Gigi to discuss with Mike. And, you know, but they didn't, I don't think they realized that Gigi would just, like, prolong it. I think they thought Gigi would.
Oh, they knew she was going to do it at this party. They all knew. They were standing around all tense.
No,
and they knew she was going to make an ass out of him at the party.
What I'm saying is when they initially did the pinky swear a few episodes, I think my understanding is that they thought that Gigi would then, after this pinky swear, then go and, like, confront Mike about this in, like over, you know.
Okay, I'll give you that. But then
saying?
When they went to Adam's birthday party and she was telling people and they knew that she was causing all this trouble, that's when they should have sat him down.
Then they probably – but then Mike – but the thing was that then Mike made this all about, like, how could you do this to me? How could you not tell me? I'm like, Mike, like, that's really not the issue here. Like, yeah, you might be annoyed, but, like – it was just like really
I'm with him because he knows how it works. This bitch has been saying this on national TV now for 4 weeks or whatever. I'm with him. We're totally on the different pages when it comes to the Shahs of Sunset. We always have been.
I know. I think I just really dislike Mike, so I'm just not going to give him anything.
I do, too. I mean, I hate Mike, too. But here's my thing. He's openly talking about which women he wants to fuck at this party. Openly. Like, in front of everybody, in front of the cameras. You know Jessica knows he does it. Mm-hmm. You know she's no idiot, and she knows who she's marrying. So part of me is like, of course she already knows that he's doing this, and he probably cheats all the time. Maybe they have some kinky, you know, open relationship type thing. Lord knows it wouldn't be the first person in this town. I've met so many people with weird relationships that I'm not even judging their relationship at this point. At this point, it's just like these friends are so mean to each other that they just take each other down on purpose every season, and he knows that now he's the target, and it's pissing him off.
Yeah. Well, the thing that was that I thought was funny was that then, so finally he decides they're going to leave. So they start to leave. And then all these awful friends are like, well, you know, like, he just left, which makes him look really guilty. Like, that's, like, guilty right there. And Asa's like, yeah, you know, like, he just left it. You know, it's like, you know, stand up for yourself. The fact that he just left makes him look really guilty. I'm like, it doesn't make him actually look any guilty at all. It makes him look like he has a little bit of common sense to be like, you know what, these people are awful. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, especially when his girlfriend is screaming and yelling at him that he better get home right now. You know,
she was out of control. It was hilarious.
I can't feel too bad for Jessica because she is dating some guy, possibly because she can be on TV. Because she did bring her reality bitch this year. She hasn't really shown it yet.
Yeah. And they are married, by the way.
She told it last year that she would turn into an awful reality whore, which she has.
Yeah.
So maybe she's using him a little bit for that, but I did still feel bad for her because all of this shit is happening the week of their real wedding.
Yeah, they got married this week.
Do you know how awkward that must be for a bride? She's just gone through all this shit. She's converted religions to be with this fucking loser and learning, to be on TV. Yeah. And all of this is happening the week of their wedding.
Well, that's what you get when you marry a thousandaire.
That's right, girl. You made the wrong choice with that one. I can't believe she even did it. I can't believe she went through with it. What a moron. At this point, you deserve what you get. Back then, when this was shot, I'm still feeling for you. But in real time, you're marrying a guy who put his face on a bus.
Yeah.
Openly ogled people on national TV when you knew he was doing it. You're gross. You deserve what you get. And I hope you got a prenup, Fiji water, lady.
All right. Well, why don't we move on to Beverly Hills?
Yeah, I can't believe we spent that much time on
I just realized when I suggested Shaw's, because we're already talking about it, I can't believe we put Shaw's in front of the Beverly Hills reunion. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that was my charity for the week. All right, talking Shaw's for that long. That's never happening again.
Shaw's before Beverly Hills reunion, which Beverly Hills, talk about deplorable people.
Well, Beverly Hills reunion. Wow. First of all, recapping this, and these are the worst things to recap when you're a recapper, because it's like, and then she said this, and then she said this, and then she said this. But I have to say, totally fun, because these bitches, look, we always like to say there's like a flower of bitchiness, right? And when people first come on a reality show, they're really nice, and then that bitch flower starts to slowly bloom. You know, I've said that many, many times. On this show, there's a whole fucking garden now. I mean, these bitches have bloomed into multiple gardens of bitchery. I mean, they're like full gardens now. These women have all bloomed.
Yeah, there's been a lot of fertilizer. You know, that's why they talk a lot of shit and they grow their gardens of bitchery.
Yes, I cannot believe how awful Kim Richards has become. She's become a despicable human being. Well, like, I hate her now. I used to love her so much, and I think she's just a disgusting piece of trash now.
Well, that's because she's also under the influence of many things, including Jigsaw, a.k.a. Brandy.
Well, now that I've seen her in action...
Both kind of brandies.
if you see... You know, now that I'm seeing her in action, if you correlate this behavior to some of her season one behavior, I don't think... I think she's always been a bitch. She was just more quiet then.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really... It's actually very fascinating to look back through the lens of this season, where I feel like we are seeing the real Kim Richards at last. And I know that... In many ways, you can't stand Kyle. I know you feel like Kyle is like an attention whore.
Oh, Kyle's an asshole too, yeah.
I know all, you know, you always, you know, she does this and this just for
attention.
But I
would hang out with Kyle.
But I have to say, when you watch that reunion last night and you hear, you know, these sisters have not talked in 3 months and Kim Richards says we haven't and I'm very happy right now. And you could see that look on Kyle's face. And regardless of what you think, to hear that from like your sister, is such a hurtful thing to know how much that she's had to put up with all this shit. I'm sorry. I was like, I felt for Kyle Richards that moment very, very genuinely.
I also felt for Kyle Richards because something happened with the filler where they put it all in her head. You're not supposed to be putting filler in your brain, Kyle. She looked like a fucking alien.
By the way, let's give a round of applause to the whoever did the lighting on this reunion for blasting these women with such light that every wrinkle and crease showed. Oh, I felt bad. That was mean lighting.
Botox,
that was
temple veins. Oh my god.
That was some cruel, cruel lighting on these women.
Lord help us. Cruel intentions, y'all. Cruel intentions.
Every liver spot, everything. It was all right there.
Well, we started this reunion off as we start every reunion off with.
Oh no.
Dandy Andy going, "Hi, Kyle. Hi, Brandy. Hi, Kim. Hi, Lisa. Hi, Lisa." Has nobody helped him with this?
I know. By the way, I think we have some reinforcements for MJ coming in from the sky. Oh, no. Guys, there's actually a chopper circling overhead right now. You're gonna hear some slider deliveries for a few minutes here.
Andy's like one of those 7-Eleven dings. Like when people walk in, it goes ding. It's just like ding,
yeah,
ding, ding. We get it. A bus full of people is coming through. Get to the fucking point. Get your now and laters and get out of here.
Oh God. Oh.
Hi Lisa. Hi lighting guy. Hi craft services guy.
Good night,
Hi,
Moon.
Hi, Bertha from Watsahachi Matsa Kisses.
Hi, Chef Penny.
I love that he starts with a random viewer question from so-and-so from Bloody Blah Falls in Watsahachi Matsahoochee. Kim, your acting career is just taking off. You've been in Revenge and Sharknado. Is Sharknado something that people are bragging about now?
I think so.
Tara Reid stars in Sharknado.
Yeah. Yeah, and Ian Ziering.
We don't have to go through this question by question, but what were the biggest things for you? The first thing, I guess, was that mean stuff that Kim was saying, like, yeah, we haven't talked, and I'm happy not talking because, you know, I'm real happy in my life right now. Your walls are covered in child blood, Kim.
Yeah.
From your dog attacking Kyle's child.
Yeah. Yeah. Kim, I mean, she's like, I mean, I love my sister, but, like, I'm happy right now. Well, you're happy because you're on drugs.
Yeah, no kidding.
And you have a neighbor
friend. So the dog
friend.
Thing, I mean, skipping a little bit all over the place. They get to the fact that this dog, Kingsley, has attacked the child. And Kyle wasn't going too over victim mode, because you know I'd call Kyle out on being too much of a victim. I don't think she was going overboard. She wasn't like, my child almost died. She wasn't doing anything like that. She was just saying, we haven't spoken since then. And you know it's because Kim refuses to take responsibility. And immediately Kim's like, oh, you want me to tell the truth about what your daughter did, huh? You want me to tell the truth? Like, her daughter was at fault for Kingsley attacking her somehow.
Yeah,
and
Jesus.
Kim is sitting there just like foaming at the mouth with a huge fucking jack-o'-lantern grin on her face, excited to talk about what this child did to be attacked by her dog.
Her niece. And I mean, and of course the daughter isn't the only one who's been attacked. I mean, this dog is like that dog from The Omen, you know, protecting Damien, but I don't know where Damien is right now.
It's Kim.
Kim is Damien.
It's meth-faced Kim. Yes, fucking meth-faced Kim. Yeah. Why don't you talk about how sober you are, Kim? Your face looks like a crumpled up paper bag. You have meth face. Your chin has disappeared. Your face has sunken into itself, Kim. You literally have meth face. Look it up.
Yeah, it is. Oh God, Kim was just so nasty, and she just sits there defending Brandy. I mean, Brandy also. Wow, she is her face. She's fillers are just out of control. I mean, this girl, she needs to dial it back.
Brandy's like now getting fillers into the top of her nose because the bottom of her nose had too much shaven off or something. She looks crazy.
She is in the Jocelyn Wilderstein.
She's
whatever.
Getting there.
She really is. I mean, she's getting, you know, she's getting to Mama Elsa. It is crazy.
I was pretty disappointed at the other women, though, at how this all began, because they just started in jumping all over Brandy. And they weren't wrong. Like, they have a lot of reasons to jump on her for the season, but they didn't wait for the build. They didn't wait for it to be the right time to jump on her. They just all started jumping on her, and you can't do that because then you make her the victim. And Brandy is smart enough to know that if she just sits there quietly, by the end of it, she'll become the victim. And she did.
Well, I actually don't feel like she came off as the victim. I know she was trying, but her bullshit is so, like, it's just so over the top, and it's so undeniable that even with her trying to play the victim, even if you fast forward to the end of the episode when they're talking about the slap, and Andy Cohen tries to sort of like make it analogous to something, and he says, well, it's like when you're playing with a dog and you're playing with the dog, and then the dog bites you. It's like the dog has gone too far. And then she's like, thanks a lot. You know, like, I take enough.
No, she said, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
She said, fuck you. You don't call somebody a dog.
But she's so dumb to think that he wasn't calling her a dog.
She is so dumb. Lisa's going, it's an analogy, darling. And she's like,
you don't call somebody a dog. That's just wrong.
She's like, I don't have analogies.
I've been bullied enough today without being bullied by you.
Yeah, it was just bullshit. Like, because that's what Brandy does. You say one thing, she finds the little thing in that sentence that she can take from it to divert the attention. They even talked about how she diverted it earlier in the episode. So if you say, if Mandy says, pardon, you know, like pardon the comparison, but like, this is what it's like. And then she's like, fuck you. You know, he wasn't calling you a dog. He was saying it's like the same sort of behavior. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah, you think you're playing with a cute dog and then it bites you.
But that being said, she is a dog.
That is actually a good way to put it. But yeah, when she said fuck you, it really, even my opinion of Andy, look, like, he seems like he's so nice, you know, and look, we'd have fun in real life, but he just sucks on these. He sucks at his job. When she says fuck you, he's the boss and the host, and he's like, no, but what I meant was, no, are you mad? But what I meant was, no, Brandy, I didn't mean that. Like, what are you worried about, that you're not going to be invited to some party at a rental house in the fucking hills of the valley that, like,
he's like
Adrian,
he's like,
Maloof is donating red velvet cake vodka for? Yeah. Like, what are you worried about, Andy? Like, you need to tell that bitch to walk the fuck off the stage, have security escort her out until she can learn to not say fuck you to the fucking boss. Like, what world do we live in that you get to just say fuck you to your boss?
Yeah, and then he's like, no, I was supporting you. I was actually supporting you. It's actually a support. I was like, no, actually it wasn't.
It wasn't, but also, even if he did mean it in a supportive way, why are you trying to support her? She's slapping people.
Yeah,
why exactly. Are you trying to make it better because you like some bitch? Like,
yeah.
He likes the most awful people. He loves Adriana from Miami. He loves, you know, the first one to ever use violence, like physical violence on the show. He loves all the most awful people. He just wants to surround himself with these evil, evil, awful people. I don't get it.
Well, one thing that I was very happy about to go to the slap was, I love how, you know, and Brandy was like, it was playful. We were just joking. So it's a slap. That's all. And then I loved that everyone jumped in and was like, listen, well, you know, you like, because Brandy at the same time is saying that Kyle was assaulting her when she pushed her hand down. And it's like, how could you say it's just a joke? You know, in one situation, and then on the other, it's like, I don't condone violence. Da 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 da. And this is the woman who threw wine in someone's face, and did a playful slap. It's like, that's the thing I hate about Brandy. She's so self-serving with her arguments. You know, she, you know, how could she say that?
She's just terrible at arguing, and that's the reason that her ass ended up shopping at Walmart after divorcing a fucking TV star. Okay, that's why she got no money. She has no arguing skills. She should have been in a freaking gigantic house that was paid for with tons of money instead of whoring herself out on reality shows. You know, she's married to Eddie Cimarron. That guy's not broke.
Yeah.
He's married to Leanne. She should have tons of money. If she really knew how to state her case, she would be wealthy right now and sitting around playing with her children. But instead, she's a stupid hoe who's got to make trouble and drama. And she's poor and shopping at Walmart.
Yeah, and she always goes to the jugular. I mean, I thought it was kind of poor of Lisa Vanderpump to get into the mix about whether or not Brandy had sex with that kid. Because it's like, Lisa, that's so beneath you. Like, you don't need to argue about it. Who cares? And it's just, all it does is get you into he said, she said fight with Brandy. And of course, then
Lisa,
Brandy.
You know, Lisa, a lot of the comments today have been about Lisa's behavior. And you know, I always stand up for Lisa, and I know that it's fucking obnoxious. But last year, I thought she was being a fucking idiot, if that helps. But this year, you know, I kind of am with Lisa where she's just been taken to the point. You know, a lot of people have been giving her shit about what she said about the parents. Like when she said, why would I call her? I barely even know her father.
Yeah.
You know, that was mean. Like, she could have at least sent a text. Because the classy thing to do if you have manners would be to send a text. But then on the other hand, Brandy would have taken that as, oh, we're friends again because Lisa texted me. So now I can, you know, try and start filming scenes with her. And I think Lisa's just been taken to the point where she's over. Or when they're saying, oh, well, her parents, you know, when she said, I blame the parents. And Lisa's like, well, I was joking, darling.
Right.
Well, I agree that that was a joke. But, you know, you also do hate Brandy. And it also is the parents' fault.
Yeah, it is. Well, so, I think that, like, I mean, Lisa is damned if you do, damned if you don't about sending a text. Because if she sent a text, Brandy would have been like, it's so fake, you know, da, da, da. And in fact, the whole reason why Lisa pulled Brandy aside at that party was to say, hey, I heard about your father. I'm so sorry. It's like that she was doing it then. That you know, like some people like to do those things in person. They don't want that. She probably was thinking, oh, I'm going to see her at this party tonight. I'll tell her then, like, you know what I'm saying? And she was damned if she did, damned if she didn't. Brandy was going to get mad at her no matter what.
Lisa is legit. Lisa has been legit insensitive with Brandy and a lot of the stuff going on in Brandy's life. But Brandy is sitting there trying to use her father's heart attack to gain sympathy. She doesn't go see her father. She just wears some, like, semi-topless outfit that she's fake crying in at parties. Like, while she's getting wasted and screaming at people. I'm just not buying it. And frankly, I don't feel bad for Brandy. I mean, a house could fall on Brandy and I would be like, you know, poor house. I hope the foundation didn't crack because that's going to be hard to resell. She's a bitch.
And, you know, and don't forget the context of all this. This is all in the wake of the fact that last year, Brandy gathered all the housewives together and tried to take down Lisa Vanderpump, tried to, like, remove all her friends, like, totally came at her in Puerto Rico. It was after that Lisa had been so friendly to Brandy, had taken her in and whatever. So
not
remember,
only that, but got her on the show. She wouldn't have been on that show if it weren't for Lisa befriending her.
Exactly.
No one else would even speak with her.
So, like, then when Lisa was talking about, like, all the slights that Brandy had done, you know, Lisa was talking about the stupid thing where Brandy said, you've slept with half the people, whatever. And Lisa kept on harping on that comment, that joke. She said, well, you know, you put it out there, which I get. But really, the truth is, the real thing you have to remember is that this is a woman, Brandy, who totally tried to do something extremely malicious last season. Extremely malicious. So, you know, what does she expect? What is she expecting from Lisa? And, you know, and again, anything Lisa
She's
does.
She's disgusting. Victim mode. And, you know, to bring the dog analogy back, you adopt a dog who is about to get killed. You give it all this love and affection. You train it. It sleeps in your bed. You feed it. You get all the ticks and everything off of it. You make it a happy dog. And then it bites your face off. And what do you do? Do you try and take it back? Do you try and work with it? No, you have it put down. Okay.
Yeah.
Rabid bitches need to just be put down. There is no fixing someone as broken as that, okay? You can try and glue a teacup back together, but chances are you're going to be pooping out blood.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, they keep saying, well, Lisa knows how to hold on to a grudge. Lisa knows how to... This isn't a grudge. This is you fucked
She's
up the
idiot.
Friendship. You fucked up the friendship, Brandy, and that's just that. You're just, it's never going to be the same.
You come to my house and you steal some weed. You honestly think that shit's not going to be hidden under my bed next time you come over? Come on now. I'm not stupid.
Yeah. And then, well, the thing is, to get back to the Dutch guy, you know, I think Brandy, the whole reason why I think it came up in the reunion was that Brandy was saying, you were saying rude things about that kid, whatever. And Lisa didn't say anything that was rude. Lisa was just, like, shocked that this is her son's friend and Brandy was going after him, like, I don't think it was anything.
And Lisa would have said that stuff even if they were friends, because it's true and it's funny. It is funny that Brandy's like so desperate to stay young that she's fucking some child that grew up with Max and Lisa knew when he was 7 years old. And the fact that this kid came to Lisa and said, well, I didn't sleep with her. She was too drunk. That doesn't sound like a lie. Why would Lisa make that up?
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I don't know what
Brandy's
happened.
Brandy's like, but... oh, well, and now maybe the kid's lying because he didn't want Lisa to be disappointed in him.
Exactly. It could be that,
which
too.
I think probably is the truth.
But also, how sad and desperate for Brandy to be like, well, no, well, I fucked him. And
I did
great.
Fuck him. I did fuck him twice
fucked
in a row.
Twice.
Two nights in a row. It's like, okay, Brandy, okay.
Congratulations.
Congrats, Brandy. You did it. And I like that Brandy tells Andy, well, you fucked children before. And he's like, hell yeah, go, girl. Oh, classy.
This I know. It was so. I know. That's the same thing. I was like, oh, this is so. So, you know, beyond.
And he's doing it for the same reason you do it, to not feel old and disgusting, okay?
Yeah.
Jesus. Get a job.
Meanwhile, another thing that happened, they were talking about Brandy being a mean drunk. And Eileen stated her a case very well, which was like, listen, all I can go off, you know, you may be fine elsewhere, but all I can go off is what I see from you. And when I see you, you're just like a mean drunk who's out of control. And Brandy's like, well, no, I don't agree. It's like, bitch, have you seen your footage?
She's like, well, we all get drunk. And I mean, all of us drink. I mean, I don't even get drunk in my real life. I just get drunk because these women are so horrible. Yeah, I've seen you falling down in public more than twice.
Yeah. Well, because first she's like, I have to drink to deal with these women. And then she changed it to, well, when everyone's having a drink, am I not allowed to have a drink? I'm like, that's not what you said originally. Originally said you had to drink to deal with them. And you know what? When you drink as a coping mechanism, you know what that might be? That might be a first sign of alcoholism. Oh, that's a strong word, Ben. Don't say that.
Look, I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. You have the right to be an addict. We are in LA. You want to be a meth head? You want to be a drunk? Go for it. That's totally your choice. It only becomes a problem when you start A, stealing from people, B, victimizing people, or C, blaming everybody else for your fucking problems. That is your problem. Own it. Snort it. Fuck it. Inject it. I don't care. Smoke
it. The real
do
problem.
Do whatever you want, but don't blame me for your fucking problem. That's your problem.
The real underlying issue here, which is not really being said, which is that these, you know, she wants it both ways. She wants to party and everything, but she also wants to keep her kids, and she wants to be on TV. And so she knows that if she gets labeled as an alcoholic, she could probably lose her kids. And she doesn't want to do that, yet she doesn't want to stop being on TV. So rather than stop the drinking...
Much in public. The reason I drink in public and make an ass out of myself in public, because I'm sure you're all shocked that I would do that.
Right.
I do it because I am low energy. I don't always feel like being around people. And drinking makes me feel less awkward and more socially available. Like, right. I talk more. I'm happier. It makes my dopamine levels raise. I mean, the same reason anybody drinks at parties. Yeah. Because...
it's fun.
It makes us feel better. Yeah. And I get it. I get that that's what she's doing, but she's not eating, obviously. And to call anybody else an anorexic with knees that are clanking together because there's no flesh there, right. Bitch, please. But she's not eating. She's obviously got some issues there, and she's drinking a lot, and she makes a damn fool of herself.
Right. And I'm sure, by the way, I'm sure the producer is... feed them all alcohol. They probably have a hamster bottle full of, you know, vodka for all these women to get them to loosen up and be crazy.
Well, but totally. why is Brandy get shot of vodka up your bum? It'll make you drunker.
Right. But like, why is Brandy? Why is she so above and beyond? You know, like, why is she she's the one who's throwing the wine in people's face? And although, I mean, Lisa Rinna did throw a glass, you know, but you know what I'm saying?
I don't care. She threw it on the ground or the table or something. Yeah, they're making it sound like she broke a bottle and tried to cut their throats with it. Give me a break. Yeah,
Brandy's wine toss came out of nowhere, and it was like totally socially tone deaf. At least Lisa's was in the context of a huge fight.
Yeah, at least Lisa had a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can understand violence when there's a reason, but, you know, just like walking into a Target and starting to stab people makes no sense, but right. killing your husband who cheated on you makes total sense.
So how about the most passive-aggressive segment of the hour, which was Lisa Rinna and Kim Richards talking about various gigs they have had in recent memory?
Oh, my God. When Kim is sitting there judging Lisa Rinna for being desperate.
Oh, gosh. This is the same woman who came, Richard, the same one who appeared at that crazy convention last year where someone gave her, like, an earring or something.
Oh, God, where she got paid to sign autographs for, like, trailer. Oh, no.
And then
that
Kim is
so sad.
And Kim is saying, like, Andy's like, would you do anything for a buck? And Kim's like, no. She's like, I'd do anything for some cocaine.
She literally said, I have a little more pride than you, Lisa. And Andy goes, you did Diving with the Stars.
And she's like, So then she tries to, like, laugh it off. And then Lisa, amazingly, goes, and, you know, it's funny because I actually did turn down Diving with the Stars.
Yeah, so I do turn down some things. And then she's like, oh, please, you were on the singing thing, the dancing thing. Well, Dancing with the Stars is actually a very highly rated show. So
yeah,
that's
and it
not
actually,
really the same thing.
And it actually gave a huge boost to Lisa Rinna's career. Didn't she have a talk show after that or something like that?
Didn't
like
she get her Depends shit after that?
She
mean,
did,
please.
Like, red
Lisa
carpet
Rinna
stuff.
Lisa Rinna does not need to apologize. Every one of these bitches are desperate. That's why they're on a reality show.
Yeah, exactly.
Why the hell else do you do a housewife show? Because your career is going well? Oh, watch out. Julia Roberts is the next new housewife. No! Sandra Bullock ain't going to be a housewife. They have real careers, Kim.
Yeah.
You have no pride. Meth face. Drink some water, Kim.
Yeah, no. I mean, but the best part was how they were sort of like laughing their way through that segment, you know? It was like this very veiled... attempt to make it seem like, haha, we're just like taking some humorous
Kim
jabs at each
though.
Other.
Everybody else could laugh through it, but Kim could not keep her. I mean, Kim
She tried to, talking an anecdote about running into Terrell, Owens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's like, but I know famous people. When Andy's like, Madagascar from Windy City Falls, Ireland, wants to know why you're so damn skinny. And then the way that it's phrased is, honey, don't you need a sandwich? I'm like, first of all, fat ladies, stop calling everybody else anorexic. Because you know who calls people too skinny? Fat people, okay? There's no skinny person on earth who says, oh my God, you're too thin. It's called sticking to an eating plan, okay? And even if she is anorexic, it's called dedication, you fat bitch. Stop writing people that are so skinny. You know, if anybody calls you fat, it's like fat shaming and body shaming. I'm so sick of that shit with fat people. Like, oh, you're, and I am a fat person, by the way. But I'm so sick of everybody being like, oh, you're so skinny. Eat a sandwich. How about you stop fucking eating sandwiches so you can stop writing bitter tweets to people that you don't even know? Bertha from Massahoochee Trailer Park, fat face. Stop it. And then Lisa goes into defensive mode and she's like, well, first of all, I wish she would have just said, because she said in the past, I work out and I hardly eat and that's why I'm thin. It's hard, because that's an honest answer. But she's like, well, you know, my dad is dying of, you know, cancer or something and he's in the hospital. And then they show Kim smiling like a jack-o'-lantern and nodding while Lisa's talking about her father dying, just waiting to make some fucking anorexic joke at her. Kim, yeah. Just fucking... If you're going to stay, I'm not going to say what I was about to say, because even I have limits.
Darling.
Even I can stop myself occasionally.
Darling, do not make me that salmon mousse and tartare. I have limits, darling. Chef Penny, no. Throw that out in the planter. Too much.
One truffle is a wonderful night. 5 truffles and I'm a pig, darling.
Darling, how many wine poached pears do you think I can eat? That's enough. 3 is enough. Chef Penny, stop it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's enough of that. But really, really gross. Kim.
Yeah.
Kim is actually the grossest one, I have to say. And Brandy was pretty gross at this reunion.
Well, it's weird because I think Brandy is the grossest. But the thing with Kim is... But the thing with her grossness is that you know that it's just been this awful thing that has been there for a few decades, and it is like it breathes off of like acrimony with Kyle, and that sort of makes it really gross and disgusting. But then Brandy is just the worst.
Well, it's gotta suck for Kim. You know, she becomes this huge movie star, and she's one of the biggest child stars in the country for years. And then her sister, who really actually had to do sitcom work, which back then was not fun like it is now. You know, now people, right. Movie stars do TV, but back then it was like, ew, gross, you're on a right. teen show.
About a dead,
you know, Kyle's
dead
like
maid,
actually probably paying all the bills at that yeah. point. And it must kill Kim just to see Kyle find a semi-hot, mouth-breathing husband who's like the number one real estate agent in the country who's... Yeah.
I mean, they have some really complicated issues, which I find fascinating. Although, you know, it's sort of a shame.
They're not that complicated.
Yeah,
jealousy and addiction.
There?
I mean, it's pretty simple. Everybody's issues are pretty much the same when you boil it down to bare bones.
I think they've got complicated issues about, like, you know, pressures that were put on Kim to support a family, and then she, her rise to fame, and then her fall, and then Kyle is now more successful, and Kyle's taking care of her, and Kim's got addiction, and there's a house, and the house has been sold, but the mother said this and that. It's like it's a crazy tangled web, and that's been going on for decades.
If they just stopped being bitches to each other, it would be a lot easier. They're just horrible to each other.
Yeah,
and
well, it's the mom.
Whether
the mom
that comes from their mother, or whether it comes from their upbringing, or somebody was mean to them on a set someplace, I don't know where it comes from, but the fact is they're in their 50s. Grow the fuck up and stop blaming everybody else for once.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Take some goddamn responsibility for your life. I mean, Kim crying about shit about when she was 10 years old. Bitch, please. You're like 20 10-year-olds right now. Grow yeah. up.
20 10-year-olds.
Get a job. Go to a Bible study. Do something. Go to yeah. a water aerobics class. Jesus.
Yeah.
Get addicted to Runyon Canyon, darling.
Yeah. Well, The only other thing I think we have to talk about, of course, is Yolanda. Yolanda was having the Lyme disease. It was just so hard for her to even concentrate and to think at this reunion. She's so tired.
And you know, I'm a good person, so I don't judge Brandy, because you know, sometimes the most difficult people are the best people to give your love to.
How about no one else will film with you because you're a raging harlot who was accusing some old man of abusing you last year and turning against people for no reason, you fucking bitch on wheels? Who the hell are you suddenly nice? You're not nice. I remember you from last year. You're still an evil cow, Yolanda, and your fake Lyme disease is hilarious to me. And the fact that you go on your Bravo blog and compare to AIDS in the 80s, bitch, please, if only.
Yeah. No, that's pretty bad, comparing Lyme disease to AIDS. I don't hate Yolanda as much as you do.
I hate her. She's such a phony bitch. I'm so sick of her. And talking about selling your children, she's like, get naked in magazine. Oh, so classy. Look at you. You can support yourself. Your daughter's naked every time I see her. What mother wants that for their child?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, there are moments when I really like Yolanda. You know, for instance, when she talks about how when Brandy made that dig at Bella about Bella suggesting that Bella might be an alcoholic when no one was saying that at all, like, and Yolanda saying, I know she wanted to get a rise out of me. I know she wanted to divert the attention into an argument, and I didn't want to take it. I liked that. I thought that was like it was rare for someone to realize Brandy's tactic and not fall for it. But then there are other times when she is, you know, like, oh, Bella, you know, drives me nuts. And the Lyme disease. Gigi.
No, you know, she's not mature. Whoa. Some ad just came on my computer. Hold on. Let me turn it off. Oof, God. 1 year ago, California. Shut up, ad. Yeah, I don't believe her because, first of all, someone put in comments today something I totally believe, that Brandy has something on Yolanda. Because Yolanda is not saying anything back, and she's standing up for Brandy. But we know that Yolanda makes mountains out of molehills, because last year it was how Ken abused her when he barely touched her, or how Lisa was just so awful to her and never came to see her with a Lyme disease. And, you know, Lisa could have been more giving. And then even at the beginning of this season, Yolanda was like, cheers to maybe Lisa coming to see me once when I'm sick or something. You know, like, she could not drop it. She's still bringing up the same slight. Yolanda can't get over anything. There's some reason she's being nice to Brandy that we don't understand yet.
I don't know.
I'm sure Brandy has a big enough mouth that we'll know at some point.
I don't think there's a conspiracy theory. I guess here's the thing. I think that Yolanda can be annoying, but in terms of like inspiring like pure vitriol, that's reserved right now for Kim and Brandy. And I just can't put Yolanda in that same category.
Yolanda gets my vitriol too, I think, because I follow her and David on Instagram now, because I once saw a Funny Lemon post and I was like, I'll follow them. And
that's your mistake.
David just took a picture getting onto his private jet, and he was like, another successful charity event building schools in Africa or whatever the fuck he's doing. And I'm like, how out of touch are you?
Well, it's like they make me roll my
about how wonderful your charity is from the steps of your private jet.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. They make me roll my eyes. They make me roll my eyes. They make me roll my eyes. I think they're often insufferable, but I don't have like deep hatred for them. I just find they're insufferable and almost entertaining in how
he is insufferable. But at least he earned his money. Yolanda, no, I don't like her because she's just some rich bitch who married into it. She didn't earn that shit, and I have no respect for her acting the way she does. Hate her. Get rid of her. Clear her. Clear
the crowd. Clear the duchy.
Clear her. All right.
Clear her.
So why don't we move on to...
Wait, did we finish? I feel like something else happened on this. Hold on. Lisa. We got Lisa, Kyle. I guess we got it all, right?
Yeah. Let's move on to Southern Charm. So Southern Charm,
y'all.
Southern Smarm.
Let me get to my Southern Smarm notes. I wrote Southern Comfort.
Yeah, I know. You know, you say that every now and then. You call it Southern Comfort, but it's Southern
Charm. I used to love that drink.
Ooh, I
was like, why am I throwing up every time I get drunk? Because I was drinking Southern Comfort. It's like liquid. It's like candy drinking.
Oh, I really dislike Southern. I just don't like it. It's because it sort of tastes like peachy, right?
Not peach, but it's very sweet.
Yeah,
there's like some kind of fruitiness in there.
I don't like
it
at all. So let's see. So the big thing this episode, Thomas Ravenel, decided to film some campaign commercials, and he used Whitney Dear Whitney to be his creative director, which is this is the from the great minds behind Renob come aka Boner come Thomas Ravenel's
campaign.
From
the lead singer of Renob comes the campaign commercial with a bunch of ladies with big asses and tight short mini dresses dancing around Thomas Ravenel, who looks like he's 60 years old, trying to raise the roof with sweaty armpit stains under his shirt. Yeah. No.
So this is
no.
So just so here's the background on this. So T-Rav, well, Whitney really decides we're gonna do something edgy. Okay, we're gonna do something edgy. We're gonna shake it up. We're gonna do something viral that's gonna get the attention of the nation.
That's so, viral, like HIV.
Yeah, like Lyme disease.
Like a herpes virus.
Yeah. So what is this commercial? It's basically like a long shot, way too long, of T-Rav at a party, and he like goes, he starts dancing with women for a solid like 15 seconds, like way too long, and then he's like, raise the roof, and then it cuts to him being serious, being like, I may raise the roof, but I won't raise your taxes like Lindsey Graham did. And it's like, what? I mean, this is like a 1989 public access thing. And this is Whitney's version of being edgy. There was nothing. First of all, there was nothing edgy about it. Just because there were girls in a bikini, it was trashy. It wasn't edgy, and it was like not a proper way to like reference his past. It sort of made a punchline as if like, hey, we can all joke about this, and it should have been more like, yeah, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. But guess what? Like that doesn't matter right now because what matters is what I'm going to do for you. You know. He should have had Watcher Crappens produce this campaign.
Well, I mean, just, you know what? If you've been in jail for selling cocaine and you've been totally disgraced, the way to get your reputation back is probably not dancing with a bunch of whores awkwardly. Right.
Yeah, for sure. Acknowledge it. But don't, like, dancing with a bunch of girls is like, I mean, it looks like Weekend at Bernie's.
Literally, because he was like Bernie. They were like carrying this old dead thing around, trying to make it look like it was still alive. And there's very little life left in that guy. I mean, that guy's getting that sad thing that happens to all men as we age. And it's happening to me. God bless me. But where everything stops growing except our nose and our ears. Have you noticed that with him? They're getting so big. And it's like, oh, no, you're morphing into old man Ravenel right before our eyes. Now's the time to maybe put a little salt and pepper in your hair on purpose, maybe get some reading glasses.
Right.
And I don't know, talk about lowering taxes and keeping your guns, because that's basically all those fuckers want over there, okay?
Yeah. I mean, like, if Whitney wanted to be edgy about it or wanted to approach the whole topic, what he should have done was he should have, like, put people on camera who hate Thomas Ravenel who say, well, no, he did cocaine, he did this, he did that, you know? He has sex, you know, and to show some pictures of him partying. Don't, like, recreate it. Take some footage from the stupid show. And then have Thomas Ravenel be like, yes, I did all those things, but guess what? What matters the most is what I do in the office. I've got nothing to lose. All I want to do is protect the state, whatever, da-da-da-da-da. That's what he should have said, not made it look like a Crazy Eddie's commercial, like he's going to sell some, like, you know, stereo speakers.
Yeah, that was not cute. And I was cringing for him.
And this is Whitney's big filmmaking prowess. This is what we've been hearing about. This is what Patricia sent him to school for, is to cut this awful, like, shitty commercial. Forget everything else. Just the production values were just beyond awful.
When he was saying, one of the quotes he had early on, he was like, you know, I feel for Catherine. She's stuck out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, she thought she was going to have all this stuff, and I haven't given her a home. I haven't given her a life. I haven't given her anything, really. Like, smiling. Like, congratulations. Yeah. You knocked up a child and then screwed her over. Wow.
Catherine's basically slowly turning into the crazy lady in the attic in Jane Eyre, you know?
Yes. Quickly. Not even slowly. Quickly.
There was a crazy lady in the attic, wasn't there?
I'm thinking of Flowers in the Attic, but same diff. Like, I'm picturing her all pasty in the attic, just wanting to fuck her brother to get out of this situation.
Like, wasn't there, like, a woman from, like, the Caribbean who's, like, in the attic that Rochester had or something like that? And
I don't know, but I think any story that takes place in an attic would work here.
Let's just try to make this classy by grafting the story of Jane Eyre onto Southern charm.
Too late.
So that was poor T-Rav. So then later on in the episode, T-Rav is having dinner with Catherine. She's already had a rough episode because she met with that other, like, blonde chick and was like, so
Oh my God. That was like taking your aunt out for tea. I was so horrified at the stuff that she had to ask.
She's like, so did you and Thomas like ever, you know, like make out or
did
something?
You and Thomas ever have anything going on?
And it was
together?
Like, oh well, bless your heart. Like, you know, he's flirty. Like we did sort of like, you know, I mean it was like a, you know, it's like, you know, it's like Thomas, you know, he's like a flirt, so like, you know, but bless your heart. Like,
I mean, before you, of course.
No, like, yeah, of course.
Honey,
of course.
Sugar, yeah. Sweetie, darling. She's like, well, but did you guys ever talk? Did he ever kiss you on your neck? Did he ever take you out to dinner? Because he never takes me out. It's like, listen, your husband is 90. He's done everything. He's fucked midgets. He's gotten blowjobs at truck stops. He's gotten fingers up his butt while he's taking blowjobs. He has done everything, okay? You're marrying a 90-year-old. If you don't want somebody who's done anything, don't marry an old person. You can't be jealous of somebody's past when they've got that long of a past.
Yeah, exactly. She is definitely...
She's an idiot. I mean, shocker. It's not a shocker that she's an idiot, but right. What an idiot. She traps some pig. She knows he's a pig. She's fucked the entire group of people, first of all.
Yeah.
Then she's trying to, like, trap the one that she thinks is going to have the most money. Then she finally traps him and doesn't get what she wants, and she's going to act all jealous. I'm sorry to keep saying this to people on Bravo shows, but get a job. Meet people. Do things. Learn something. Get the hell on with your life. Woman, what's wrong with you?
I know.
Have some pride.
I know. Yeah, she got so mad at Thomas about that commercial later on. I mean, she's like, those are my friends. Like, that's like that's disgusting me. Those are my, you're dancing with my friends. Like,
well, one thing I think she did have a really good point with was he doesn't want to take her on the campaign trail because he's married a 20-year-old and it's gross. But he has no problem like being seen as fucking 20-year-olds on his campaign ad.
Exactly. Well, the best was he's like, well, you know. He's like, well, you know, I can't have you in the commercial. We don't have the budget for a big family picture. She's like, you don't have the budget? Well, we just don't have the budget for it. We spent all $25 on the commercial.
Yep.
The best
that was pretty. That's pretty sad to watch because he's a gross person and she's a gross person too. But listen, who wasn't a gross person when they were 20? Like, I was a gross person. I mean, I guess I still kind of am, but I was much grosser then than I am now. And we all deserve that moment in our, we all deserve that age where we can just make mistakes and be gross.
Yeah. But, I forgot what I was going to say about Catherine and people being slutty and all that stuff. The point is, she is ridiculous. He is ridiculous. I love that he said that there was even a budget concern. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. Patricia, I love how during the commercial, when they're shooting the commercial, Patricia just saunters by with like a little stroller with a dog in it. She's like, oh, what's going on here? Oh, Thomas, this is a little wrinkled. Oh, well, all right. Well, good luck with your commercial.
I love that. Patricia, the most judgmental one, whose son is the most disgusting thing on the show. Oh, congrats, lady. Nice work.
And by the way, for all you literary people out there, I can confirm that there was a crazy woman in the attic of Jane Eyre. It was Bertha Antoinetta Mason, the violently insane first wife of Edward Rochester, moved to Thornfield and locked in the attic and eventually commits suicide after setting fire to Thornfield Hall. So, I mean, basically Catherine. That's the
basically.
Future. That's basically
G-Rap's
future.
And that name, Bertha Antoinetta something, that sounds like one of the people who calls in to ask questions on the reunion shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's Adele, like, Bertha Antoinetta Hall called from Missowachi Springs Falls.
Yeah. Oh, like a strong Huguenot name. So what else happened? So Whitney also moved in with Shep at the beach house.
That was funny. Shep doesn't know what a duvet is.
Yeah.
And he describes Whitney as being like liking darkness and hanging upside down in closets like Nosferatu.
Well, I love that Whitney is like wearing this like cool like leather jacket and some chains and everything. I'm like, you're 48 years old. Please
it's
stop
so,
doing
it's
this.
So embarrassing. He's like, hey, bra, I bought a clean duvet. Because that's what bras worry about.
Yeah, I know.
Whether or not their rental duvet is clean.
Yeah, it's from the Renob collection at Kmart.
I want to make sure I'm not rubbing my Renob up against some dirty duvet.
What he should be doing is he should be wearing one of those outfits that guy Cooper designs. Cooper is the resident gay man of
Charleston.
Oh my
God, Cooper, who's apparently going to wear that Golden Girls pink jacket everywhere he goes.
Yeah. He's a designer, and yet he wears a blazer that's two sizes too big for him.
Are we just unsure of who's gay in this town? Like, do we need to be wearing pink jackets wherever we go?
Yeah.
Really? Like, is that some kind of signal? Is that like wearing an earring in your left ear just so people will know who they're allowed to flirt with? Yeah. Cooper, please pull it together for the rest of America's gays.
Cooper was the one who attended the second christening with Patricia,
yes, in that
right?
exact same jacket.
Same jacket, yeah. And he's going to have Craig be one of his... I was like, oh, Shep. Craig, you have to walk in my runway.
No, he did not. He said, Shep, Craig, you have to walk on my runway. Girl, please. You sound like a Jack A impression.
Yeah. And then Craig, he's like, well, if I have to choose between being a liar or being pretty, I choose being pretty. I'm like, well, is that really an option?
I love when he's like, I love wearing Cooper's clothes because I just look so pretty. And then they show it and he's wearing like an outfit from the Nutcracker in silk. The hell?
He's like in the Playmobil collection. He's like, is the Playmobil construction worker. Cooper designed it. Really
and
hot.
I like when he said, I had an awkward time in high school. I went through an awkward phase. And they show him like, he did look awkward, but still hot. I mean, is yeah. that the awkward phase? Because really, Bravo's the only place where I tune in to thin, rich, white people talking about how they were bullied.
He did look like he was a former cast member of Two A Days. Remember that show on
no,
MTV?
What's that?
It was a show on MTV that followed like Alabama teenage, like a football squad in Alabama. It was like 2005, and they all had like those crazy bangs that came down to their eyebrows.
Yeah, he did look like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Craig. He's on the path of destruction. Oh, I also
poor thing. It must be so hard to be gorgeous, young, white. In America, with a law degree.
I know. And then you have Landon, the new girl. She's so sweet, but she does nothing. She's so
she has
sweet.
She has a weird voice where she kind of talks like that. I need to get my divorce papers filed.
She spends the entire time giggling until then she starts talking about her divorce. Then she gets sad. And then I feel bad for her because now she's just like a lady living in a boat.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about her.
I like her,
I like her. I'm just not really sure what she's doing yet.
She's like a brunette Martha Stewart. She's cute.
Martha Stewart would not be living on a boat like that. She'd move into the boat and like start, you know, staining the wood and changing the carpets. Like, she seems like a girl chef that got stuck in a bad marriage.
Yeah, I hope that we get to see her mom. It sounds like her mom's a real piece of work.
Oh yeah, she's tortured those girls.
Yeah, certainly.
Can't wait.
Well,
my
obviously,
favorite kind of Southern mom. Y'all know why?
Yeah, and because one of those girls did not consent to being shown on camera because she had her face blurred out in all the family photos.
Oh Lord, she's like, I can't be seen on reality television.
Reality.
My children go to private school.
I also thought we were going to get to finally meet Cameron's husband because he like called up on the phone. We heard his voice, and he was going to come in for dinner, but nope. He clearly wants nothing.
You know that she won't let him too. You know that part of her smart. Is like, no, you just stay at home, honey. You're not doing this show.
I'll put on my kooky mama instead with her bag of trinkets.
Because you know the minute he goes on there, people are going to start going in his Instagram like, you're hot. She knows how this shit works. She's a real world cast member.
Yeah.
It's like, you better stay at home, honey. You even show up on the show. You're divorced.
I also liked Whitney's partner. Yelling at him for not taking part in the restaurant. What's it called again? Generalissimo? Gosh.
God. None of that's going to work.
No. No. If the restaurant is anything like the campaign commercial, it's going to be like tacos with half a shell.
I have to say I'm impressed that Whitney can play the guitar.
And sing songs about the Seventh Veil strip club.
Yeah, and about a stripper giving him a hand job. That was nice. Like, that was classy.
Like, yeah, good for you, singing songs about strippers at 47.
Yeah, I think that ends this show. I really like it. I just don't really know what to talk about sometimes with this show because it's funny, but it's kind of sad too.
Well, it's like a different type of show because what happens is half the cast are jackasses and the other half are like normal people who just laugh at the jackasses. So like when Whitney makes this commercial, unlike when, like, Asa does Diamond Water, and everyone's like, oh, cool, I love your Diamond Water. Like, when Whitney does a commercial, half the cast is like, this'll just be pure comedy. This'll just be terrible. Look, what's he doing making a commercial? This is a disaster. You know? And it's like, kind of can't argue with them.
Some of my favorite stuff on this show is happening on Facebook. The best stuff is the meltdown of Thomas and Catherine's marriage that's happening on Facebook. And if people have not been following this, you need to be following better people on Twitter, probably. Mm-hmm. But have you read any of this, Ben?
I read the thing where Catherine said that the reason why they broke up is because Thomas slept with her best friend.
I'm trying to see. Yeah, Catherine's like, well, he slept with my best friend while I was pregnant, which is something else that she hinted at. This week, where she was like, he was seeing her while I was pregnant, by the way. So she's always ready to go after him. But did I read these texts last week?
I don't think so.
Thomas put on I think this is Facebook. While I know it hurts, it's finally healthy progress to know the truth. The joke of it is that she said she was going to propose to me today. I'm great in business, but my personal life sucks. What an idiot I am. Not only that, but she's telling everyone that physically assault her, which is not only hurtful but blatantly false. My lawyer is right. When I see her, I should run. Right now, I don't know how it could be worse unless we lost our health. How did I let such an old person thing to say? At least we got our health. How did I let her take my heart? It was cold on a perch. Now it's completely vanished with not even an attempt for explanation. First of all, grammar. I mean, I get that you type this on your iPhone, but I mean, come on. You're running for things.
Seriously?
Come on, Kristen.
And then I don't know who this is. I miss Tanner. That's so bad, but I do. I don't give a shit if Thomas and I work out after feeling the way I did with Tan. And then someone wrote, stop texting that. Just get here. And she wrote, will do, baby. We're saying bye. We're here. What the hell? And then Catherine wrote, this is completely ridiculous. None of you know a thing about this post. Delete this post, please. It's inappropriate and misconstrued. And then Thomas wrote, while it truly hurts, at least I know the truth from Catherine Dennis. I don't know. These people are crazy. And it's so bad because no one really knows English anymore. So it's like trying to decipher what everybody really means from their bad grammar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think there was like abuse in here somewhere. And breakups. I'm loving it.
We just need more Patricia, less Whitney, and I'll be fine. I'll be happy.
I need Cameron and Patricia just judging everybody. Just make that a thing.
What you need to have is you need to have half the episode people doing shitty things, and the other half is Patricia and Cameron making fun of them for it. And then you're set.
We need like a Top Chef spinoff for butlers. Patricia can just like be the judge of all the butlers, and they would have to go through butler challenges, like making martinis and like cleaning poop specks off the toilet seats and stuff.
Yeah, that, I would love that. I love what Patricia said about Thomas's campaign. She's like, now I would think, I don't think that having cocaine use and getting a baby out of wedlock is going to be help you take down Lindsey Graham, but you know, no one's perfect. And then she just laughs. So perfect. It is. You know what, Patricia? You're perfect. You are perfect.
She's an awful human being, but damn it, she's funny and she's got a white feather boa, so.
She's amazing. I wonder how old she is. I mean, she looks great.
Well preserved.
All right,
let's clear, wrap it up. Clear the podcast.
Clear the podcast. Chef Penny's coming through with a gâteau. Clear some space. It's time for Chef Penny. I am Kristen, and I approve this message, Kristen.
Kristen.
Seriously?
Kristen. This is so ridiculous, Kristen.
Seriously? Lindsey Graham's gonna raise taxes? Seriously? But not me. Seriously? I approve this message? Seriously?
Seriously? Raise the roof.
Okay, everyone, you can find us on facebook.com/watchwhatcrapins. If you listen to this podcast, you enjoyed it, and you want to talk with other people about it, things you liked about it, or just other shows, that's where you go. Or watchwhatcrapins.com to find our other social media. And, of course, you can support us at patreon.com and get access to things like bonus episodes and ringers and hangouts. And our bonus episode this week, again, is about all the new Bravo shows coming your way and some shade about Chantal from Gallery Girls. So I hope you enjoy it. I know we enjoyed recording it, as we enjoyed recording this episode. And looking forward to seeing everyone next week, although the episode actually won't be up next week until Wednesday, because I'll be on a plane on Tuesday. So that is that.
So, yeah, that's that, y'all.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we approve this message. Bye.
Kristen.
Seriously.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.